The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus, coming to you from the Grace Evangelical Society. The Grace Evangelical Society has a national conference each year, and today we're going to hear from a participant of last year's conference. We hope that this will encourage you to be a this year participant with that conference coming up in May the 19th through the 22nd. Find out more about it at our website, faithalone.org, and first-timers can register for free. That's at faithalone.org. And with that interview now, here is Ken Yates.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus. This is Ken Yates, and I'm here at the National Annual GES Conference and outside of Denton, Texas at Camp Copus. We've been having the conferences here for the last few years. And the conference this year is on 1st and 2nd Peter. Let me just give a plug. If you've never been to one, but you're thinking about it, you might think about coming to the one next year if the Lord tarries and we're still here. And what we've been doing this week is picking some of the superstars at the conference, doing podcasts with them, interviewing them, seeing what they like about the conference. And I have one of those superstars with me right now, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. Who is my mystery guest?
My name is Barbara Johnson.
Okay. And where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Now, I know Barbara from, I think I met you through the seminary classes that we're doing. She was in my Greek class. Why don't you tell us about your experience with the GES seminary?
Well, I was thrilled to find out that GES was going to be setting this up, because for years I wanted to study, but cost is prohibitive. And just knowing that it's a free grace-based seminary makes all the difference in the world. Knowing who your professors are and what they believe makes all the difference in the world. And so we were excited to take this opportunity and learn and grow.
Well, I want to, if I could just jump in there, I will tell you that I get asked all the time, where should I go to seminary? And some of the concerns that you brought up are what is voiced. You know, like, well, I was going to go to the seminary, but I know they're not free grace. You know, should I go there? That was the impetus for starting this seminary, was to provide a seminary where free grace theology would be taught. But also the other thing you brought up is the cost. And also there's people who are not able to move, like to go to another state and take their family up or whatever. Or if you're retired or, you know, that's just too hard to do. So we do it online. So how have you found it? How have you found the classes? Does it fit your schedule like that? And what about the cost?
Well, the cost is awesome. It's free if you get a B or above. So that's a good motivation to do your homework every day.
Now, Barbara, one of the things we've done this conference that is different in the past is we had a breakout session with the seminary students, and they were leading it. They were the ones who got up, and basically they were reading their papers. Now, what happens is for these classes in the seminary, most of them you write short papers. And so for this breakout session, we had some of our star pupils read their papers. First of all, what class was that, Barbara, that you were part of?
The class that my paper was from was soteriology, taught by Bob Wilkin.
Okay, and what does soteriology mean?
The doctrine of salvation.
There you go. Soter is the Greek word for salvation. Sozo is the verb. And so we had, I can't remember, maybe six or seven read their papers. I don't remember how many we had.
In two sessions. So almost, I would say 10, 15.
Oh, so we had two. Okay, well, I was attending the one. I saw the one where you read your paper. And what was the topic of that paper?
The topic of my paper was the content of saving faith in terms of dispensationalism.
And what was your conclusion?
My conclusion is that we have to check into dispensationalism a little bit more deeply, because of the feeling that the content of saving faith changes with the dispensations. It's talked about but never really explained.
So are you talking about here, for example, how were people in the Old Testament saved?
Exactly. That's where it comes up. But even in terms of the New Testament, before and after the cross.
Okay. So. See, Barbara's getting into some deep stuff here. Were the disciples, for example, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I heard her paper. Were the disciples saved in a different way than we are?
Exactly.
Right? And, well, let's talk about that, for example, in your paper. What do you say about the disciples? I'm talking about the disciples and during the earthly ministry of Christ. How were they saved? How were they given eternal life?
Well, and dispensationalists will agree that the Gospels land in the Old Testament. So they were saved the same way that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were, in believing in the Messiah for everlasting life, rather than believing in the finished work of Christ, because he hadn't died on the cross yet.
Yeah, see, Barbara's bringing up a great point here, right? You know, a lot of people say, well, and again, I don't want to put words in Barbara's mouth on her paper, but a lot of people say, well, you don't have to believe in Jesus for eternal life. You just got to believe in him that he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And then Barbara's point is, well, the disciples didn't believe that. And then people say, well, the disciples didn't have to believe the same thing we did because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet or not. And Barbara's point was that, no, we're all saved, whether we're talking about Abraham in the Old Testament, the disciples in the gospel, or people today, when we believe in Jesus for eternal life.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
Now, when you did your paper, what was something new that you realized? What kind of discovery did you make as you were working on that?
I read Ryrie's dispensationalism back about 2017, and that last point that he made, that the content of saving faith changes with each dispensation, didn't sit right. And what I learned was that people quote him, but don't explain him.
Ah, and what did he say? What did he mean when he said it changes? And then what do you mean by people misquote him?
Well, they don't misquote him. They just don't clarify. Mm-hmm. And neither does he.
No, that's fine. No, sometimes theological books are that way. Like, what does this mean? I don't understand.
They basically say that because of progressive revelation, each dispensation, there's a little more information available. And so the content of what you have to believe changes. Mm. And because they believe that the finished work of Christ is the saving message, it would be impossible for them to believe in Christ for dying on the cross for their sins.
Before he died.
Exactly. So right. That can't be the saving message. You know, it can't be about Jesus. It has to be about some revelation that God gave them in that particular dispensation.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question because I don't know the answer to this question. So I'm just going to ask you now. What do you think Ryrie meant when he said that?
I think he meant that the content of saving faith changes with each dispensation.
So
he meant what he said.
So you think that if he were alive here today, he would say something like, yeah, the disciples didn't have to believe, for example, I don't know his particular view on this, the deity of Christ. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand the deity of Christ, but they didn't have to. But after the resurrection of Christ, then we have to believe in the deity of Christ.
Yes.
Something. It would be curious if he was sitting here what he would say. And on that particular issue, my question would be, well, what part of the deity of Christ would they have to believe today? You know, for example, what if someone believes Jesus is God, but he was created? Would that be sufficient? Or do you go, oh, no, you have to believe that he's always existed? Or what if you believe that he's fully God, but he wasn't really fully man, or something like that? And so that comes up to play as well, it seems to me.
And that's where the issue always is that everybody has a different list.
Right. And what do I have to believe? Mm-hmm. If revelation is progressive, in other words, if there's new revelation and I have to believe that. I remember sitting in a class in seminary where it was really weird. A guy was talking about this, and he believed that. And he said, you didn't have to believe in the deity of Christ until the book of Romans was written. You know, let's say Romans is written in the late 50s or something like that, or around 60 AD. So from the resurrection of the Lord, let's say around 33 AD, for about 27 years, you didn't have to believe in the deity of Christ, even after his resurrection. But now you do, because we have the book of Romans. You know, then I say, well, what about people who didn't have the book of Romans
exactly.
yet? So if you got it in Rome, you got it. But what if you're living in Thessalonica and you haven't gotten it yet? So maybe there a few more years. But once you read the book of Romans, what do you think about doing the seminary, giving the students the opportunity to do these breakout sessions?
I thought it was wonderful. And a lot of the students felt that it would have been nice if we'd shared them during the year as well.
Well, I can tell you as a board member, I think we're probably going to be doing this more in the future as well. Now, how did you get associated with Free Grace, and how did you get associated with GES?
Well, the Free Grace issue, that's kind of neat, because when I became a believer when I was 22, I attended a church called Northside Gospel Center, which was pastored by Lance Latham as the founder. He was retired when I was there, but from the beginning, I had a great grace education. In fact, when I met my husband, after asking him before I went on a date with him, are you a believer? The next question was, do you believe in eternal security?
Man, you put him on the spot.
But we never knew about Free Grace per se in terms of GES until we ran across a magazine. And we always called ourselves Gracers. And so it was wonderful to find a community that were like-minded.
So was it the Grace in Focus magazine?
We think so. We can't quite.
Yeah, I remember in the olden days they had the newsletter, and I was in the Army at the time, so I wasn't as involved in it as much as I am now because I was moving around, but I remember loving getting those little newsletters that I know Zane had his own, Kerugma and stuff like that. I'd get those, and Barbara brings up a good point. If you're not getting the magazine, Grace in Focus, it's free. Get a hold of the GES office and let them know you'd like to get that. And there's some great articles in it. You might even see an article by Barbara written in there in the future on her paper or something like that. Well, Barbara, we just thank you so much. Thank you for your support of GES and what you guys are doing at the seminary. Just thrilling. And it's great to have you here. Thanks for sharing your story. And until we meet again, Barbara and I are going to do something. And for all of our listeners, we would tell you to do the same thing, and that is
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy some time fellowshipping with other believers. Join us again on Monday for another episode. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.